What have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 125, and this week's show is all about the news. As always, I'm Mike B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. It's the morning, so we're both a little slow, I think, right now.
It is the morning, and we're going to post the show the same day as we record, because I think, you know, got to get it out. Life is crazy, so yeah. Definitely record, post, same time, yeah, all of it. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. Including the new book, the newest book that just came out, which is called Queen's Shadow. Ben, I feel like this is a book that you probably should end up looking into and getting, because it's all about Padme and her handmaidens. And it takes place right after episode 1-ish, in between episode 1 and 2. After Padme is no longer queen, and Queen Rayala has taken over as the queen of Naboo, and Padme becomes senator. It's really, really interesting to see how this dynamic of Padme has kind of taken over, especially when you know what happens like in episode 2, like the first time she meets, you know, Anakin again after 10 years.
Right. What do you think? There's a lot of stuff in between episode 1 and 2 I think is, I don't know, unexplored.
Yeah, well, they explored it in a lot of the, what do you call it, the EU stuff. Like, there was lots of books that involved, well, like, young Anakin and Obi-Wan.
There was a children's book series I read when I was, what is it, Jedi Quest, I think?
Oh, when gosh, the Jedi Quest series?
Do you remember that? Yeah,
when I was younger, I do remember that.
I read, like, 3 or 4 of those, because I thought it'd be cool to be like, oh, this is, like, Obi-Wan and, like, young Anakin when they first started training together, it's, you know. Cool, but that's the only thing I can think of that I've actually dived into that takes place between 1 and 2, because everyone knows that, like, there's so much stuff between 2 and 3. You know, we have Clone Wars and, you know, a plethora of other stuff, and then between 3 and 4 there's a lot of stuff too, but between 1 and 2 there's much less.
Yeah, well, there's much less as like official canon now, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I will say this, Queen Shadow is by E.K. Johnson. I'm listening to it right now. E.K. Johnson also wrote the Ahsoka Tano book that, you know, we've covered on the show previously. But I will say this book, at least from Audible, because I subscribe to Audible and I absolutely love it, especially while driving. This book on Audible is narrated by Catherine Tabor, and she literally does the voices of like Padme and Sabe and Dorme, like all of them, like back and forth. Like, it's really funny is like, because like all That's the cool. handmaidens are meant to be able to like do the decoy where like they're able to swap. So like you think the voice would be the same, but there's like little inflections and changes in between. And the book has like this, you know, has these really fun segments of like, you get to see a little bit like how the media portrays Padme when she gets to Coruscant as a senator. And of course the Trade Federation is, you know, Newt Gunray is currently on trial for, you know, it's like 3 years into his trial, and because he invaded a whole planet and everything, but right. Like,
and that would be grounds for a trial,
you know, because there was officially no proof, even though there's more proof that they did invade the planet with the death, you know, all this stuff. But it's just a really fun book, and actually it's probably one of the more fun audiobooks that I've listened to in a while. Like, obviously, like, the Thrawn one stand out has just been absolutely amazing. But Queen Shadow, I was kind of like, okay, I'll get it. You know, I didn't really know much about the book, but I really, really, really like it. So cool. If you get it, if you don't have an Audible account, you can definitely get a free book, audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. I think Queen Shadow would be a fun book to start on if you haven't done it in a while, because it's just a really fun book to listen to. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out, patreon.com/resistanceradio podcast. Some perks are joining us in Discord chat. You can join us in the recording studio. If you are interested in being on the show as a Patreon, just message us on Discord chat. We'll get a time and let you know when we're up here, and you can join us. We also have movie nights and after dark episodes. We also have merchandise available on our website. T-shirts and button packs are available. So, since our spotlight topic is the news, and that's what we have, I think we should start with the biggest piece of news. Mark Hamill revealed a photo of the Episode 9 trailer this past week. It was kind of
like
amazing.
The trailer, not like the trailer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like full-on dad joke, and I really thoroughly appreciate it. So, Mark Hamill posted a picture. I'll just give you guys an idea here. You know, this is a tweet that he posted. People keep asking me over and over and over again, when will they release the Episode 9 trailer? A, I don't know. B, until they do, just be satisfied with this exclusive look at my own personal Star Wars trailer. Hashtag Padawan, patience Padawans. 9 will be fine, all in good time. Basically, he posted a picture of his movie trailer that was on set that he literally hung out on in between takes and everything like that. I will say I am extremely happy with something like this because, like, he knows, like everyone else, he knows that everyone is waiting for this trailer. I'm really disappointed that we haven't gotten a title yet, but that
I'm
leaves
surprised.
Us
surprised. Actually, I'm more surprised than disappointed.
I'm not at all.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not at all because this leads us right into our next bit of news, and I'm actually scrambling through my email right now to find out the exact date. I want to say, I know it's Friday.
Actually, before we run into that first part of news, I just love how his trailer says Master Hamster on it.
Yeah, that's
makes
very
me happy.
Mm-hmm. That trailer picture is pretty amazing because I really am a fan of what he has there. Like,
yeah, he's also clearly hiding his costume that he's wearing.
Well, I don't know if it's a costume or if it's like a shirt with like a scarf because there's something hanging out. I can't imagine them like letting them like actually have, you know, this off. Anyway, this leads us to our next bit of news, and I'm scrambling. I'll be honest with you, I'm furiously scrambling to make sure I have the date here so I can tell you exactly this. But Star Wars Celebration 2019 in Chicago, they have announced the Star Wars Episode 9 panel with J.J. Abrams will be there. And that will take place on Friday, April 12th. So we will have it there. So on Friday, April 12th, we'll have an Episode 9 panel, which I am 100% positive they will release the title there. And I'm 100% positive they will show us something.
Even and if it's like a 45-second teaser that has zero to do with the movie, you know.
They'll probably show us a couple things.
They need something to... I've said this before. I know this is like beating a dead horse, but like they need something that they can throw on the internet and then put in front of the new Avengers movie at the end of April. And if this is like a week before, that's the perfect opportunity to do that.
Well, yeah, you know, the new Avengers movie is at the end of April and this is April 12th. I fully expect this to be, I'm sure there'll be the official trailer in front of Avengers. So that makes just perfect sense for them to do that with like one of the most contested movies of the year, like can promote each other. Right. But I'll say this, this one right here is really interesting because this panel is actually going to be in three stages. So it's going to be hosted at the main stage where it's going to be, obviously. But if it fills up, which you know it will, they're going to live broadcast the panel to two additional auditoriums. I'm pretty sure they just assume every single person at Celebration is going to want to be at the Episode 9 panel. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'll be there for that. Like, I'm totally going to be there for that panel because it's going to be Episode 9, right? I fully expect them because they've done some interesting things at the different celebrations. They've actually done a good example is at the celebration in Europe, which I didn't get to attend, but Donya got to. They showed a trailer that was never released. I mean, like, flat out never released. It had footage of Vader in it for Rogue One, stuff like that we never saw in a trailer. So I'm sure that they'll show something. Whether this exact trailer or something that they show will ever make the light of day other than like on screen caps from people's phones, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, I'd be very surprised.
They take your phones?
No, not for these types of things. No, because
they would. You know, now, just for leaks and stuff.
Well, but this is stuff they are announcing. And of course, it hits every, you know, every website. You know, I am actually going to be there. I'll be live tweeting a bunch of stuff from the Resistance Radio Twitter account. I'll be posting stuff on our Facebook and our website. And, you know, I'm going to take a bunch of video and put something together to post on our YouTube channel and everything. So I'm really excited. So in celebration, which starts April 11th, it is a 5-day event. I'll be there for all 5 days. Eric Skull is going to be there with me. Jenna's going to be there with me. Danya, I believe, is not making it out this time. And I know you're not making it out, Ben, but it's going to be fun. I know Evan from the Johto cast is going to be there, so I'll meet up with him. So it's going to be a fun time. If you're going to be there, tweet at us at Our Radio Podcast. Let us know. I'd love to meet up with you, hang out. I'm super excited because, you know, I missed the last two celebrations. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little disappointed I have. But this is the 20th anniversary of Star Wars Celebration. Of the conventions, right? And you know what's funny is I was at the original one, which is also the 20th anniversary of Episode 1. The original one was much smaller. It was in Aurora, Colorado, with a Star Wars fan club magazine. The headquarters was, so they did it in there that area. I'll probably end up posting a bunch of pictures I have from, I don't know if I actually have my computer because I'm not there's this before digital cameras, guys. I'm sorry, this was like before digital cameras. I know I have pictures from Celebration 3, which was Revenge of the Sith, on my computer. I'll at least post those if not, but I remember making a giant origami Naboo starfighter. It was like a life-size starfighter, but made out of giant paper. It was kind of cool. We'll post something on our website just to kind of go to it. But I'm super excited, and obviously everything from Celebration, I'll be posting, and you'll be able to see on StarWars.com. Moving on, it's been a year since Rebels season finale. And I know, Ben, you did not watch Rebels.
I was like, this means nothing to me.
but I know Caitlin.
Someday. I promise I will watch it someday.
I know Caitlin and Danya and myself were a big fan of Rebels. In fact, we have many episodes just dedicated to Rebels. With it being a year since Rebels, there was the hashtag Rebels Remembered that made the rounds on Twitter, and we never really found out what happened to Ezra in the end of Rebels. We know why he's not present in the Star Wars trilogy, along with Grand Admiral Thrawn, but we don't know what has happened to him. So, none other than creator Dave Filoni posted a picture on Twitter of Sabine and Ahsoka searching. It looks like they're climbing some steps in some mountain ranges, possibly snow or storm, searching for Ezra, trying to find him, bring him back, right? And Filoni wrote, "Thank you all for sharing your memories of Star Wars Rebels. It was a wonderful show to make, and the entire crew is humbled by your outpouring of love and support with hashtag Rebels Remembered. I tried to think of something to sketch for you all today, but I couldn't come up with something from the past, so I drew a possible future instead. It's always good to check in on old friends, don't you think? No, this is not a new show, just a drawing I did for you today. The greatest fans there are. Thank you." So he doesn't really, like, there's not a new show. There was a joke as the finale premiered. When are we going to get the new series? Because at the end of Rebels, if you remember, and I know, Ben, you don't, but at the end of Rebels, it was Ahsoka who was watching over Lothal, you know, Ezra's planet. Sabine comes back, and they say, it's time to search for him. So after the Empire is destroyed, after the second Death Star is destroyed, Ahsoka and Sabine leave to go search for Ezra. But that's it. There's nothing else. Like, there's so much more story that can happen. We just don't get any more. And this picture is from the future, so it definitely looks like them on a snowy planet looking to see where the Purrgil has gone into hyperspace with Ezra and Thrawn. And I'll be honest with you, I'd be even happy if this returned as a book, which led into like a new Thrawn book too, like just tied all the medias together. I think it'd be absolutely wonderful. I know you're not a fan of the Rebels, Ben, but what do you think if like they were able to tie some of this stuff together?
I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan yet.
Okay. You haven't experienced it. You correct. Haven't experienced it. All right. I'll take that. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see, what happens with Rebels if it comes back. I know I will say I'm excited for the developments that are happening in Resistance. In fact, we'll probably have another Resistance-based episode in the next couple weeks, leading up to Celebration, probably. But I'm extremely excited for the way Resistance has started to, I guess, unfold, if you will, or develop or grow, because at first I was a little disappointed with it. Yeah, it's hard. It's a different show. It's a different show to get to. It's definitely more childlike than the other ones, but I miss Rebels, and guess what? We're going to have Clone Wars coming back for another season, so I'm okay with that. We got to let Filoni finish that up, finish up an episode of Mandalorians, and then he can come back to Rebels. Yeah?
Work his way all the way around.
Yeah, he's got work to do, and I get it. Like, it's good to take breaks from things that you love. You know, he goes from Rebels, going back to Clone Wars, doing Mandalorian, then he'll come back to, you know, Rebels again, and then he'll do, you know, a live-action Star Wars movie. Why not? Let's let him direct something. Anyway, I love Filoni. Anyway, moving on. Battlefront 2, I had to put this news in here because I thought it was really, really fun. They've updated Battlefront 2 recently by adding a new version of Anakin Skywalker based on his appearance in the prequel film. So we have obviously Darth Vader and we have Anakin Skywalker. And we now have the Anakin Hayden Christensen version of him in Battlefront 2. You can choose as your hero. One of my favorite things is that they've included lines from the movies in all these. So you'll have Count Dooku will say things like twice the pride, double the fall. Just, you know, some iconic lines. But one of my favorite lines is when you spawn on a planet that is a desert planet with sand, like, say, Jakku, which was there in the first Battlefront game. Anakin has one of my favorite lines is, "I hate sand. It's coarse and it gets everywhere." It's coarse and it gets everywhere. I will say, this is going to be... It's great. It's absolutely just wonderful. Like, I'm a huge fan of this. Just because it's one of those things where it's so subtle. You know, I don't like sand. It's just one of those things that just makes it, like, kind of a little more realistic. You know, and then we also have, like, you know, everything from, you know, General Grievous' lines, Obi-Wan's lines. Like, Obi-Wan has a hello there, which I'm very happy that they added because, you know, it's Obi-Wan.
It's the line of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That is, well, you know, he said it in the prequels and in the original. Yeah, yeah. He said this is the first line in the original. It's the line in the prequels, and it's great, you know? So Battlefront, you know, I will say this. Battlefront 2 has gotten some really cool things lately, mainly from PlayStation, not specifically from Battlefront. One of the really cool things with it is you now have the PlayStation Remote Play app. So if you have it on PlayStation, you can actually play it on your iOS, Android device, your iPad, or your phone by simply logging into your PlayStation from it and play on your iOS device. I will actually say I've probably played Battlefront more from my phone in the last 2 weeks than I would have without it, just because now I can play it on my lunch break at work and stuff, which is kind of fun. We do have some... I don't want to say it's spoilers, but we have some news about episode 9 that came from...
How can there be spoilers? Nobody knows anything about it.
Well, we do. We have...
Kind of, but like...
It doesn't necessarily mean it's movie.
You know?
Yeah, this is some information from the Disney shareholder meeting. So obviously, every year, Disney holds the shareholders, like many, many... companies at the beginning of the fiscal year, or in this case, midway through the fiscal year, which is where they were. They were at the end of Q2, and they were discussing the future and what the rest of the fiscal year for Disney looks like. Obviously, they talk about the parks opening, which we'll talk about in a bit, and they talk about, you know, the films. You know, they showed footage from the new Avengers, Episode 9, Lion King, and Aladdin, and a specific quote is, "The footage from Avengers Episode 9, Lion King, and Aladdin all look great. Hopefully people up in arms about the genie will settle down once they see what we saw." So I don't want to dive too much into the other properties, but I am a fan of all of them. I will say the live-action remakes of the Disney film classics, I personally think have all been really good. There hasn't been one I've been
Hasn't there only been one?
Well, no, there was Cinderella. They did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I didn't
see that one.
That was actually
the Beauty and the Beast one.
Yeah,
so Beauty, I figured that was the only.
No, there was Cinderella. There was also Jungle Book. There's also Jungle Book.
Oh, that's done by John Favreau. Man, I'm forgetting these. I saw Jungle Book. I liked Jungle Book. I thought that was great.
And actually, what's really interesting is John Favreau took the stuff he did from Jungle Book and used that. He portrayed the CGI character in Solo with that, and a lot of that stuff that he developed there, he's using in Mandalorian. So I'm kind of excited for it. So, like I said, I'm excited for Mandalorian. But yeah, so you know, I've liked all of them. You know, from the Jungle Book, to Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast, I would say, was probably my least favorite out of all of them.
Yeah, I would agree.
Let me finish the reason why. The reason it was my least favorite is, unlike Jungle Book and Cinderella, it followed the cartoon, the animation, so closely. Yes, there's an additional song. Everything else was great, and it took me a while to really see Emma Watson as Belle. Like, she did a great job, and the movie's good, but it followed it so closely that I was kind of like, eh, it was good. I own it. Like, I like it. But but I'm excited to see, you know, Lion King deviations from it and Aladdin. I've always been a fan of Will Smith, and I know his original pictures of him as a genie were really bad, but, you know, it looks like it probably works fine.
I mean, there was a trailer this week, right?
Yeah, there was a trailer, and it looked good. It looked better.
He looks better. I don't know. I'm not like married to the original Aladdin, but I will stand behind Will Smith.
Yeah,
simply because like he's playing Will Smith, and like Robin Williams just played Robin Williams, so like we should be okay with it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, I love Robin Williams, and I think the original genie is one of my favorite characters from that. But Will Smith definitely is one of my favorite actors, and he can play himself and be Will Smith and be a little bit of Robin Williams in it. But the tidbit from that is they saw footage from not only Avengers, but Episode 9, which, this being a Star Wars podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about what they saw and what we hope to see in a possible trailer in the next couple weeks. So, One of the first tweet that we have about it is, we saw a blockade runner in an abandoned looking hangar, an explosion knocking stormtroopers in a starship hangar bay, Kylo Ren in a white room looking at the Vader helmet, Rey, Finn, Poe in the Falcon cockpit. We're going to stop right there. That's a lot of info to digest. So, a blockade runner in an abandoned looking hangar. That tells me, you know, I would like to see, maybe it's the, you know, Tanaviv 4, you know, kind of like from the original film. That block, it'd be really cool
too.
Like in an abandoned looking hangar. Yeah, it'd be really cool if they bring that ship back. It's got some, you know, Lando comes to help repair it. You know, who knows? Like, something needs to happen. Like, to bring back, start to build up a new rebel fleet, because they're no longer a resistance anymore. They're the new rebellion is really what they have to be, because the First Order is now a new galactic empire at this point. They've destroyed the Republic, the New Republic. They've destroyed. They are the ruling faction right now. So they are
They also lost Starkiller Base and basically all of their ships in the last movie. So,
well, but see, that's the thing, is like, that's what we saw. They lost they lost one ship. They lost Snoke's ship, and they lost Starkiller Base.
All of them.
What are you talking about? The Resistance? Or are you talking about?
No. I'm talking about the First Order, because General Holdo like smashes her ship through all of the other ships.
Well, no, she smashes it through a Snoke ship, and that one explodes. Doesn't kill the other ships, and that's not all their ships.
I think it does. I need to hold on. I will get back to you on this in about 30 seconds. I'm pretty sure that she aims at one ship, but all of them go
kaboom. I remember it's silence, so I don't remember everything. But regardless of the Holdo destroying, regardless of destroying Snoke's ship, which is just ridiculously large, and they lost the dreadnought above Dakar Cobalt Squadron's last hurrah. They still have, you know, they still have a whole lot. You know, that's all they've shown us on screen. But when you look at things like Resistance and the Phasma novels and stuff like that, you can start to see how big and how encompassing the First Order really is. I'm sure there are plenty of ships outside of what we saw on the screen still. But we see a blockade runner in an abandoned looking hangar. So I feel like with a blockade runner in this abandoned looking hangar. It could be on any planet. I don't even want to speculate the planet, but I think I would be really happy if it's the Tanabe 4 and they're going to bring it back out as kind of a way to even pay homage to finishing up the film, if you will. Explosion knocking stormtroopers in a starship hangar bay. I'm sure that is on some First Order starship and some type of attack done by maybe our heroes. I will say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Kylo Ren has a huge ship just like Snoke, maybe not as big, but maybe more of an Executor class Star Destroyer, kind of like his hero, Darth Vader. And I can see that being an attack happening on something like that.
Yeah.
Especially since the next note is Kylo Ren is in a white room looking at Vader's helmet, contemplating, you know, a little Hamlet action there, contemplating what's next.
I was about to say, like, are we gonna have this Hamlet subplot going on?
Yeah, who knows? And that's one of the things I love about JJ. As he wrote this, you know, he's pulling elements from everything else, looking back to the original trilogy, looking at the prequels,
because he has to wrap together up like 8 movies. So makes a lot of sense.
And then
I pulled it up. So at 1 hour 51 minutes and 52 seconds into the movie, Holdo smashes through Snoke's ship, and then there are many shots that are quick right after that that show all the other ships splitting in half as well. And it's because they were like behind Snoke's ship, I think, and then just like, I don't know. I figured it's like never been done before. It's super intense light speed stuff, and there would just be shrapnel destroying all the ships. But that's what it looks like in the movie. So I think everything we saw in the movie was destroyed. Doesn't mean that it was everything, though.
All right, I am pulling up Holdo right now too. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think it's everything, but I know everything that we saw in the movie is destroyed. That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, well, actually, no, I'm gonna stop right now, just because you can see Snoke's ship destroyed in the background, and Kylo Ren and Hux, you are looking at the destroyed ships outside of it. So not all the ships are destroyed. There's just definitely debris and everything. And actually, Finn and them escape the ship after it's been destroyed also, like at 1 hour and 55 minutes. Right. So I'm literally looking at it. So, like, obviously, Holdo does her thing, and you see, like, the big explosion. That's super important, obviously, right? You know, what Holdo does. But, you know, I'm looking at it right now, too. But all the other ships are definitely damaged. Doesn't mean they're destroyed. Because think about it. After that, the First Order then goes to the planet Crate with all their AT, you know, all the big MT-69s and, you know, 6Ts and, you know, the AT-ATs, and, you know, so they still go to it. So the ships are still doable. They're just not.
They just have to purchase giant band-aids for all the ships, and then they'll be fine.
Yeah, a band-aid or two definitely needs to be done
for it.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Or two definitely needs to be there. So definitely, they're still there, an explosion knocking stormtroopers in the stars, you know, in the hangar's bay. But what's really cool, what stands out to me is Rey, Finn, Poe are in the Falcon cockpit. And this gets me to think about speculation here that I just want to take a second for it. So, Rey, Finn, and Poe, we've never had Rey, Finn, and Poe together, really, in any of the films. Yeah. We've had Rey and Finn, we've had Finn and Poe, we've had Poe flying his X-Wing.
Really briefly at the end of Last Jedi.
And there's a really brief encounter between them at the end of The Force Awakens novelization. But the fact that it's in the Force Awakens novelization. Yeah,
interesting. Then why? Okay, because in the movie they meet each other for the first time at the end of.
They don't like really interact. That was an argument that, you know, we talked about one episode a long time ago.
I remember the first time I saw Last Jedi. The biggest twist of the movie was the fact that she and Poe had never met.
and you knew them both. You're like, oh yeah,
I know. You're like, what? I think we did all just assume that it had happened at some point. We just forgot, you know?
Oh, yeah. They had talked about it. Like, you know, Poe knew who she was, but never met her. And I will tell you this. The Falcon is obviously iconic, right? You know, Chewbacca's still around. And the Falcon's there. I will tell you this. A couple things is, you know, it's now been referred to as Rey's Falcon in a couple things. So I'm sure it's Rey and Chewbacca are officially pilots for it. But think about this. Mm-hmm. Poe is an amazing pilot. We know this. Like, that's just, it's Poe, right? And Rey is also an amazing pilot too. Like, even though she hadn't really flown before Force Awakens, she had built a starship herself, like in the novels. But you know, she obviously with the Force enhancement, like, she's a really good pilot. I would say Rey is like Luke Skywalker piloting, and Poe is like Han Solo piloting, if you will.
Yeah, sure.
Now they're both in the Falcon. Who's the actual pilot, and is Chewbacca still in that co-pilot seat, or does Poe take over co-pilot, or is he pilot and Rey is in the co-pilot seat?
So I would argue that Rey's the pilot and Chewie's the co-pilot, because Chewie's always been the co-pilot, and Han actually liked Rey and like was going to take her on anyway, even though he didn't, you know, even if he didn't die, he would have done that. Whereas, first of all, I think Poe is a character would still like to have his own X-Wing or something, even though he's now destroyed.
I agree 110% for you. It's just, I'm just saying they're in the cockpit.
Yeah.
So
well, like, maybe it's towards the beginning of the movie and they're just kind of chilling, you know, because it's a fun place to be. I don't know.
Because here's the reason I bring this up, and just as a speculation and thought exercise, if you will, is in the Falcon, you're not going to hang out in the cockpit unless something's going on, right? Like, because think about it. When they're flying to Alderaan, you know, Han, Chewie, Luke, Obi-Wan, R2-C3, they're flying. They hang out in the hold, played Djarik, and Luke's playing with the, you know, remote and his lightsaber. You know, the only time they're in there is like when they're being attacked, they're trying to see, like, oh, we're caught in the tractor beam. What is that? That's no moon. Like, all those things. You know, even on Tatooine, you have Rey by herself flying in the cockpit, Finn at the gunner turret when something's happening. So, like, the fact that all three of them are in the cockpit, something is happening. Maybe they're being pulled in, or they're being, like, they're trying to sneak by.
Hold on, theory time. What if they're all in the cockpit because Chewie was like, we need to go to this cool place. It's like the city in the clouds. There's an old friend of Han's there. Cool. And then they go there, and then the security gets all huffy at them, just like in Empire Strikes Back. But Chewie's the only one who can actually like talk, but like nobody can understand Chewie. And so they have all these people like Poe, Rey, Finn, they're just trying to talk very comedically to the security, because Lando's probably like, that's my ship, but like, who are those people who are not Chewie in the ship? I don't know. I could see that being funny.
Yeah, I can actually see it being something like that, like something that they're looking out because, like, yeah, you know, it'd be somewhere they're visiting. You know, Rey has obviously never really been off Jakku, so every time she goes somewhere new, it's always like exciting. Mm-hmm. Poe could be just be the person navigating to the landing platform, even from the co-pilot seat. Chewbacca can also be in there in that scene, but they just didn't mention it. Finn would be like, where are we going? What's going on? Like, you know, it could be one of those things. So I'm all for this, and I'm just excited to see our new trio in the cockpit in place of where Han, Luke, and Leia used to be previously. So that makes me really happy to think about that. The next tweet was Lando. They saw Lando briefly, which is interesting because right after that, you talk about Lando. They don't really say much, but they do see Lando, so maybe it is something with Cloud City, going back to Bespin.
I think it'd be cool if they revisited some beloved planets, you know?
I don't know about that. Like, I would love them to.
Even if it's like for a 5-minute scene, like just to be like, we're going to pick up Lando, and they'll be like, sweet.
Yeah, you know? See, the problem with that is like, when does it become fan service and actually move the plot along versus not?
I mean, well, if it moves the plot, that it's because they're introducing Lando into the movie again. So there's an argument right there. But also, come on, it's the last one. They're gonna pull some fan service moments, and I'm okay with it. They need to.
Yeah, I would love for them to visit Coruscant again, just to see that cityscape again from like the prequels. Same. You know, I actually love for Endor, like them to have a base on Endor or something like that. Bring the stuff back from, just a side note here, Warwick Davis
back in there.
Warwick Davis has been in all the movies anyway, but like just to get back as Wicket would be awesome. But not even that. But like to pull up, like they're back at. Endor, or they go back to Yavin, right? You know, Yavin 4, and they're back at the Masasi Temple, like we saw in Rogue One and stuff like that. And they just like really like play into that. Like, that would be so cool. Like, I would love that. Like, it would just be really fun.
Okay, wait. So pick three planets you wish to see again.
Oh, gosh. Three planets I wish to see again.
Because I really would love to see Naboo. Honestly,
I think Naboo, after what we know in the books, like the Aftermath series, with when Palpatine died, like he kind of tried to destroy the planet. I'd like to see the ravaged planet, especially since like,
and actually better rendered Gungans on screen would be nice.
And that's actually one of the things I was going to talk about, like in Queen Shadow right now, talking about the military kind of group of the Gungans versus the peaceful people of Naboo, how it's just a very dichotomy of the different cultures that are there, but one planet, and see how they're both ravaged by what Palpatine did as the Emperor to the planet. It'd be interesting to see, like, the kind of like the war-torn battle, you know, planet, and see who's been able to build up again. And is it, you know, did the Gungans come to help the Naboo people? Do the Naboo people's, you know, art and stuff really survive, or is it now a lot of them have moved off planet and it's just more been taken over by the jungle and Gungans? You know, it'd be interesting to see Naboo.
The jungle Gungans? The Jungans?
Well, no, remember, like, their sacred place, which is that jungle outside there. So, yeah.
I think it'd be cool to, especially if you're tying three trilogies together, you got to throw in some prequel trilogy planets that are, like, hallmarks at this point. So, like you said, Coruscant is a good one. Naboo is probably the second one because Tatooine shows up in both trilogies. So, you know, and really there's no reason to go back there.
Yeah, there's really not, like, at least nothing story-wise that's pushed towards Tatooine. Yeah. I will say this. I would like to see one of the prequel plans, like either Coruscant or Naboo. Coruscant
or Mustafar.
I don't really care about Mustafar that much. Like, it's a cool planet, but like,
it was the coolest one to look at for sure. But
Or Kashyyyk. You know, they can do Kashyyyk, any of the,
actually. Kashyyyk. I was just about to say Kashyyyk too.
Yeah, they can do any of those planets. Like, any of those planets that they showed would be really cool. But I'll be honest with you. I think I would get the most out of Coruscant again, just because if you think of like Hossian Prime has been destroyed, the Republic, and like at the end trying to bring something back, they bring it back to where like the old Republic kind of was, back to Coruscant as the central core system. Like, it'd be kind of fun to like revisit that at the end and kind of set up like
that, but also to see, like, you know, how we have these images in our heads of like Jedis and robes in their temple and like younger Anakin, maybe, you know, Liam Neeson, like all these people, to have like someone like Daisy Ridley as Rey walk into those places that we associate so strongly with different characters would be really cool, in like tying it all up and saying this is all part of the same universe, which we knew already, but it would solidify it, I think, even more.
Well, and that's actually why I think, like, towards the end, having them visit back to Coruscant, resetting up the Senate, like not again, I don't want it to be political like the prequels, which I think was part of its downfall as a series, but going back to Coruscant, seeing that happen, having Daisy go back to the Jedi Temple, because, you know, the temple was still around even during the Empire's time. It was just like boarded up, and like have them kind of like, you know, like not even like see them like cleaning it up, but like having to get it and like reopening like the Jedi Temple and start training a new generation, like what we saw in The Last Jedi, where we saw the kid pull the broom with the Force, like just kind of like start that kid process. Yeah, Broom Kid and that, like, would be really cool at the end of Coruscant. Cool. Other two planets, I would love to see like something like Hoth, which, like, you know, it's not... You know, something like Hoth or Yavin, one of like the rebel base planets would be really cool. And then I'll be honest with you, the planet I really wish we'd see on screen in a lot more detail would be Felucia. I know we saw it very briefly in Revenge of the Sith, but like, man, Felucia is just such a vibrant colored, you know, planet with all those big plants and everything. Like, I think it'd be really cool. Or I would like to see, man, now I'm like thinking about them. Or Drathomir, like something from we saw Rebels, which was where Asajj Ventress from and the Night Sisters are from, and Darth Maul came from. Like, that, you know, there's so many planets they can visit, and I would just love to see, you know, a couple back, even like ones that they brought up in the Maw, like in Solo, if they bring the Maw back or something like that, or, you know, I don't really care to see Kessel again, but like, it'd be kind of cool to see some of those things. Anyway.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've said this on the show, but I've definitely talked to friends about it, how I think having Rey in the Jedi Temple on Coruscant would be really cool, because if it is like boarded up and stuff like that, you can take a slow movement in the movie to have her like discover things that the audience knows. You know, like maybe there's like old security tapes that work, or you know, video journals of Jedi masters or something. It being an excuse to have a, you know, Samuel L. Jackson back in, or, you know, Liam Neeson or Ewan McGregor. But just for her to like go in there and like, I guess, discover all of this stuff from the past. You know, I think it'd be cool, because it'd be both servicing her character, but also it'd be fan service at the same time. So,
well, and you know what's really interesting is I would love for that to happen, and like even just like to tie in and bring back some characters from other things too, like on it at the end, just to wrap it up. Like maybe they bring back an Ezra and Ahsoka. And be like, oh, so there's this other story of how they get back together, and they're the ones that come, you know, like, I don't know. It'd be really fun to see all that. But we have Rey with Chewie's bowcaster, which is kind of cool. Finn is aboard some looking ship abandoned ship looking interior, which my guess is probably that blockade runner. And then they also had a marketplace scene with Rey walking through and some aliens. So that's probably like going to be our cantina scene, marketplace.
Oh, that was actually, that was the Aladdin scene that they showed. Not. Never mind. That was a bad joke.
And then they had the last bit before we move on to the next bit of news though. And then they had a cool clip of Daisy doing some wire work, jumping and turning somersaults high up in the air with a lightsaber. Obviously this was not CGI done yet. But that just tells me that we're going to see maybe some episode one style fight scenes, you know, a lot of jumps and stuff, Duel of the Fates style.
Yeah, they owe us one, especially because as much as I liked Last Jedi, there was no lightsaber to lightsaber contact in the whole movie. And
yeah,
I miss it. So
yeah, it'd be really fun to have something like this. But we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of the episode nine, John Boyega unboxed a gift he received from J.J. Abrams. I don't know if this is a gift he got for end of episode 9, but just a gift J.J. Abrams sent John Boyega. And I will tell you this, there's been rumors of Red Stormtroopers for a long time. And we also know, like in the Phasma book, we learn about Cardinal and in... which is a First Order Stormtrooper in all red, with a cape, kind of like Mirian Phasma's, but in red. And we also learn about, you know, the Stormtrooper that's in all red, that's in Resistance. So, like, it makes sense to have a on-movie screen red Stormtrooper. And guess what? We get a red Stormtrooper helmet. But it's not a Stormtrooper helmet. It's a mashup between a First Order Stormtrooper and Spider-Man. Did you see this helmet? As he was, like, pulling it out? It's pretty ridiculously awesome. Like, I'm pulling up the video again just to watch it. Like, he's just like, oh, you know, looking at it. So you got this really cool First Order looking helmet, and then like he shows the camera, like the lines is painted with, you know, Spider-Man on it. I kind of almost wonder if he got like the rest of the armor too.
Because
like great. I have this weird feeling that like now as I see like a red Spider-Man Stormtrooper walking through Celebration, I'd be like, ah, you got John Boyega. You know, who knows. Harry Potter. What is his name?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe was on the floor at Comic-Con dressed as Spider-Man one year. Like, completely covered, just like walking around the floor, taking pictures with people, taking pictures with other people he thought had cool costumes and cosplay. And people would be flipping out if they knew who it was, right? You know, it's just like, hey, what's up? So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he goes hidden. Kind of like when Mark Hamill was in a Stormtrooper costume on Hollywood Boulevard. People had no clue who it was. Right. You know, kind of cool. Anyway, last bit of news for this episode is one of the biggest bits of news that I am beyond ecstatic for. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. You get to travel to the planet Batuu that's on the Outer Rim. They have release dates or opening dates for both the Disneyland Park in California and Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Disneyland's Galaxy Edge will open on May 31st, and Galaxy's Edge at Universal Studios, or Disney's Hollywood Studios, sorry, not Universal, Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando, Florida, will open August 29th of this year. This is kind of, you know, there was an article I sent to Ben and everyone else earlier this week about Star Wars Land opening up. Did you get a chance to read that article, Ben?
I looked through it. I would not say read. I would say skimmed.
All right, I'm going to read just a little something here.
Yeah, go ahead.
For Star Wars fans, two things have always been true. It's a world we all dream of visiting, but never actually be able to. Star Wars is a movie, of course, fiction. The sets, the places only exist in far-off studios for a few months at a time, or as ones and zeros on servers of visual effects companies. None of it is real. None of it exists. That is, until now. So, last week, Disney let a group of journalists, specifically the article was from IO9, to visit Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Now, it's not done. It's not done at all, but it is the largest expansion in Disney's history. It's a 14-acre expansion to both parks. So they're both identical. They're both 14 acres in size.
That's crazy. Oh
my yes. God. I know. 14 acres is this planet, is this zone of Disneyland, right?
This planet. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it really is, right? 14, like, just think 14 acres is huge. And they talk about, like, everything is muddy. There's scaffolding everywhere. You have to avoid large pipes as they walk by two or three floors across huge holes. This is not remotely close to what fans will experience when the doors open. And that's before they had a release date. But the quote is, it's already one of the most exhilarating places I've ever been. You actually get to stand next to a Millennium Falcon, for crying out loud. It's the centerpiece of Galaxy's Edge is a one-for-one scale of the Millennium Falcon. It's over 100 feet long and about 25 feet high, covered with all the little details that you expect to see of a Millennium Falcon. So let's just stop that right there. Going into Galaxy's Edge, you're going to see a life-size Millennium Falcon.
Like, if that was all it was...
I'll be honest, like, I'm going to squeal and cry and be just... like, so excited, like, seeing that, like, looking up at it.
You said you're going with your family, right?
Yeah, so I'll get to that in a minute.
Hold the phone and record your reaction.
I'm going to tell you. So I'm actually going to be getting a little camera called an Osmo Mobile. Which is a little, like, gimbal camera. And I'm going to get that for celebration. And I'm going to be taking it, obviously, here to record the whole thing. And I'm sure my wife will just, like, pull her phone out and watch me, like, have this dumb grin on my face. Like, I'll probably look like the Joker with a side-to-side, like, smiles.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say maybe a little happier, but okay.
But, yeah, maybe even more. It's going to be bad.
Sure.
So let's put that, a 25-foot high, 100-foot long Millennium Falcon, right? Like, this is Millennium Falcon right here. The quote I want to is, magnificent isn't strong enough. Awe-inspiring doesn't come close. It's just perfect. Like, like, describing this of a non-complete, like, man, like, having a picture of the Disney Imagineers and Doug Ching, who did, you know, all the artwork, and he's for Lucasfilm. I just sent a picture in our Discord for Ben.
Yeah,
to look
at that.
But just, like,
look
at, like, you're just kind of so like, cool. Oh my gosh. It's just so, it's going to be amazing, right? We have this information. So it's opening May 31st at Disneyland. For those of you who are planning to visit or are from Southern California, if you book a night at the Disneyland or one of Disneyland's hotels between May 31st and July and June 23rd, you will be guaranteed access into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So there's some information that's popped up on Disneyland.com and will pop up later on Disney World's website as it gets ready to open. But you will be required to make a no-cost reservation subject to availability of the land. So some of the concerns is just because you get a ticket to Disneyland or you go into Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida, just because you're there doesn't mean you'll actually get to enter into the land area itself. I'm sure there'll be gatekeepers. And the reason for this, is probably just population control. You can't have everybody in the park trying to go to one small area. From what I'm told and what I've read so far on Disneyland.com is that once you're in, they're not going to kick you out. But they're going to control the amount of people that go into it. And this makes sense, especially when you think of stormtroopers are going to be walking around patrolling the place. You know, visibility in those things is not 100%. And they don't really have someone walking them because that just will ruin it, right? Mm-hmm. So they can't have it be so packed that these stormtroopers have to like push their way through a crowd to kind of do what they need to do.
Well, and also I think if you're a guest, you don't want to be in like a super packed part of the park no matter what, because, you know.
I would do it because it's Star Wars, but like, you don't want to be there. So they're doing it so that they're going to try to control the traffic. Their capacity is limited. And I conveniently, like you said, I am going to be at California during the opening. I knew the opening was going to be in June. I'm surprised they did it May 31st. I'm super excited for that. My mom is going to be going there on May 31st. She may have booked a one-night stay at the Disneyland Hotel to guarantee herself getting into the park to see it. But I actually have a two-day stay at the Disneyland Hotel, even though I'm staying with my parents in California, because it's my daughter's birthday in June. So we were already going to California for that, and I just happened to book 2 days at the Disneyland Hotel right as the parks were opening, that special kind of a lame one. So I'll be there. I'll get to see it in the first month of its opening. I am beyond ecstatic. The downside to the opening of both parks is only one ride's going to be open. Only the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run ride will be open. The Rise of the Resistance ride will not be done yet. So that'll be something that I'll have to see on another date. But right now, there's not an estimated completion date to that ride, the Rise of the Resistance. For the information we do have for Rise of the Resistance is that it is over a half hour long as an experience. So the ride is fairly long. But it's one of those things where Rise of the Resistance, you go from a couple different scenarios. So it's definitely the biggest thing. And that's where you'll actually have two full-size AT-ATs bearing down on you inside this cavernous starship in the ride. So it's definitely something pretty awesome. So I'm going to it. Did you get a chance to see the new video that they posted of the Galaxy of the Millennium Falcon ride that's on StarWars.com, Ben?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, like, it's really cool. So there's six seats for the Millennium Falcon ride. The Millennium Falcon ride is, there's two pilots, two engineers, and two gunners. Obviously, like, I'm like, I want to be the pilot, but at the same time, I'm okay doing any of them because apparently each one of them plays something, you do something different, and it's important that you do something different in the ride, and it's just really fun no matter what. But yeah, it's you're in the cockpit of the Falcon flying through space. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just giddy thinking about it.
Yeah, right, I know.
The other thing about this is you'll also have the ability to go through the land of Galaxy's Edge. And they talked about a little bit about specifically like things like the toys that you'll see. And there is a link of some of the stuff that you can get there, which is really interesting. It's not really Star Wars toys per se, but they're all a little off because they're made by the people of Batuu, who may have like hollows of things. Hondo Inaka from Clone Wars and Rebels is going to be there. He's a voice animatronic that's in there, and Black Spire, which is really cool. You have, Savvy's Workshop, where you get to build lightsabers. I'm kind of equating this similar to the wand ceremony at Harry Potter Land, if you've ever been.
Yeah, I feel like they're probably... I'm not going to say they're copying it, but like, this is clearly their version of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Savvy's Workshop. What's interesting is like apparently these lightsabers are not going to be anything like the plastic ones. They're going to be like pretty heavy duty,
nice
metal pieces. So you'll be able to build a completely custom lightsaber together.
This kind of the setup of the place with all the counters and the people kind of looks like an Apple store.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, like they look at, you know, how do people deal with busy stuff. The creature stall will feature creatures of the galaxy, including porgs, tauntauns, and more.
Porgs.
But the really cool part about this is if you look at it, like these are all like things that are made. And they look almost handmade. Like they look like some, you know, some artisan or someone like made it on their planet, like trying to feature it. You know, it's definitely a... it's made there by Zabaka, a female Toydorian, runs a shop featuring artisan style items. And there's wooden whistles, musical instruments that are, some come preloaded with tune, plushies of animals and galactic heroes. So I find that really cool. And actually, there's some more pictures of like the lightsabers that you can build that look just really, really awesome. There's also a droid depot that has one of my favorite droids. You can build an R-series droid, an astromech, or a BB-series droid from it, which is really cool. But also, Rex, the original captain of the Star Tours ride, performed by Paul Rubens, who is Pee-wee Herman. I don't know if you remember the original Star Tours ride, Ben, where it was his first flight and, you know, yours too. And he, you know, he made a mistake, and he's back helping you at the droid depot. So this is just going to be really fun. He's also a DJ now, so he's going to be playing music and stuff like that in that area. And of course, all the new beverages and the bar, so you'll have a real cantina. And you know, there'll be X-wings, and actually, I found a picture of 4 X-wings that they are building for Galaxy's Edge. So I'm sure there'll be an area that you'll actually get to see. A hangar, or just X-Wings that you'll get to see in Galaxy's Edge. Like, this is where, like, it's 14 acres of Star Wars in real life. Yeah. So, I'll obviously document it. If you're going, let us know. Send us pictures. Tell us what your thoughts are of Galaxy's Edge. I'm excited for it. Hopefully, you are. And there is also a panel at Celebration all about Galaxy's Edge coming up in April. So, that should be really, really fun. Anything else? Ben, anything you want to add news-wise?
Not really. I think we were pretty thorough.
The last thing about Galaxy's Edge is there is also some music, food stuff that I know we talked about. The blue milk is what they're going to have. They're also going to have the green milk from the Thranta that you know you get in Last Jedi. But one of my favorites is like looking at the. There's a second picture. Let me see if I can pull this and share it to you right now so you know what I'm looking at.
Man, they make the blue milk look so good.
I know. Well, it is. You know, that's why Luke drinks it. But yep. Left to right, there's Melaroon juice, turkey jerky, and Ronto wraps. Now, it's not a taco. It's a Ronto wrap. You remember Ronto on Tatooine.
Of course, but they're tacos.
It's what it looks like. You know, they have to make food. And speaking of Felucia, remember I said that's the planet I want to visit? Here's the Felucian garden spread right here, which is looks like some type of... it looks like pita bread almost with... I don't know. Some guacamole or some like something green.
Something like that.
Yeah, and then... I'm assuming those are going to be, I don't know, maybe it is meat. I don't know. But it looks really cool. Everything looks super, you know, just really nice. There's also a carbon freeze drink. I think they're doing a really good job with making these things look otherworldly. You know,
I was about to say, sometimes you go to a place and like they'll name things really well, but then like it'll just be basic, like you've seen it before, you know?
Yeah, so like here's some non-alcoholic drinks. Carbon Freeze, which looks like some type of soda or something, and it's got like probably dry ice or something in there where it's like just like bubbling and smoke coming off of it. It also looks like maybe it's got bulba or something like suspended in it. I don't know if you look at that one on the left. And then you have Olga's Obsession, Obsession's Provisions, which if you remember Olga from, from episode 6, you know, the dancer from Jabba's Palace there.
I have no idea what it's called.
Yeah, Obsession's there. So it looks like some type of drink or something. And then you also have the Cliff Dweller, which looks like kind of an orangey... some type of juice or something. So, you know, they've done a really good job making these things look really, really cool. I also think looking at the cups that they're using, a lot of the cups have built-in LEDs or something below it to help light them up to really give it this really cool look. I don't think these would be cups you get to keep, but like, you know, it'd be part of like the bar type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really cool stuff. And I'm looking through more of what they have. Like they have the braised shack roast from Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo. Features beef pot roasts with pasta, kale, and mushrooms. Definitely looks kind of otherworldly with the bright colors and everything there. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at some of the alcoholic drinks. The Bloody Rancor contains alcohol. Black Spire Brew. Oh my gosh, the Bloody Rancor looks like some type of alcoholic drink with a bone on top of it. I'm sure that's like chocolate or something. But yeah, so there's just lots of different things. Fried Andorian yip, tip yip, which is a chicken dish. Yeah, because you get yip yip. Anyway, but yeah, so gosh, I'm excited. I'm like, I was just looking at this. I'm like, man, I am really hungry now. I'm excited for this. Even the popcorn, you know, obviously Disney sells popcorn and stuff like that. Did I just see smoked kadu ribs? Man, we can do a whole episode just on this food and talk about it. But
like a food special.
Do you remember the kadu? They were the kind of horses that the Gungans ride on Naboo.
Yep.
And so you have smoked kadu ribs, which this looks absolutely awesome. Just know that they're calling it that. It looks like some ribs with pork ribs with a blueberry corn muffin and cabbage slaw. So like it looks really Gungan, something from, you know, underwater, if you will. But just looking at the popcorn, like, you know, Disney parks, they have popcorn and stuff like that. Can be at their kettle. And even then, it doesn't look like, it's not caramel corn, but it's super colorful. This just looks rad. Like, I'm excited to be there. Yeah. I'll have to report everything. And hopefully, if you go, you got to let us know what you think about it. Anything else, Ben? We done?
Nope, I'm good. I'm hungry now. I'm going to go eat.
Yeah, it's lunchtime, right? Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradio. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Ben.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.